news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Wizards Network proudly presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Gentlemen and assorted lowlifes, your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Playa, Mr. Phil Rea, and I'm joined by...
Good God, have mercy, it's the mix.
That's right, and we are live on Rant EM Radio. Dave, we are what?
We're live.
That's right, we're live. Rant Entertainment Media, we are a Shining Wizards Network production. Episode number 88, Rocktober the 1st, 2014. How the hell is everybody doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty damn good.
I'm doing well myself. I actually became an uncle over the weekend again. That's pretty cool. It's cool as shit. My brother Joey had his first child, so congratulations to him and his girl. Bouncing baby boy.
You didn't actually bounce him.
No. We don't do that. No. But, yeah, man, I'm an uncle. And then last night, one of our – my good friend Joe and his wife Desiree, we call him Bosco for sure. Bosco and his wife – Bosco's a listener of the show, had his first child last night, baby girl. So congratulations to him. And it's just been a good weekend, good couple of days leading up to the show. And we – we're doing all right.
We got the Black Hammer in the chat room.
Black Hammer's in the chat room. Sugar Shane, I see Tank in there. Mr. X, I see Axel Foley's in there tonight. Good evening, sir. Yeah, man, we got a nice little chat room going on. Tony C, Mr. Black Hammer joining us from the rant.
We got a potpourri of people in the chat room.
Yeah, man, we're doing all right. We're doing pretty
cornucopia
good.
Of people.
A cornucopia, if you will.
Yeah.
All right, so what else is going on with you, Mega Powers? Everything else is cool in the gang or what?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm just, like, so fucking exhausted from waking up around, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, going to work, and now here I am. I feel like that story in the Mid-South DVD with Terry Taylor talking about, like, you know, he's waiting in the arena for Ric Flair, and then, like, you know, Flair shows up, looks like he, like, fell out of a garbage can, and he's like, you know, just give me a coffee, kid, and I'll be ready in an hour. And he's like, you know, how the hell is this guy gonna, you know, make me look good when he's looking like, you know, hot garbage coming to the arena? And then, like, an hour later, like, the guy's, you know, trim, you know, got the hair going, and he's good to go, and that's how I feel right now.
My work days start at 5 a.m., they end at 10 p.m. when I come home. So even on my days off, I'm up at the crack of ass doing stuff, so it's like it's a never-ending struggle to be an adult. But we have this as our escape,
yeah.
And we're going to kick some major ass tonight. We have an awesome show lined up for you guys.
This is fun. I got to this one last night.
Well, We were talking about this for a while. I just didn't know when we were going to do it because we had all the stuff. Here's the thing. Before Dave came on, people who have been with me from the beginning, and I'll get into that in a second because a person from the beginning, and I want to wish him a happy birthday, but I'll give him his due in a minute. But from the beginning, I did the show every 2 weeks for the newer listeners. And it just gave me more time to prep. I was doing some other shows. I was in the middle of moving. I got married. A bunch of shit happened. So when Dave jumped on with me, we did it weekly. And it was so much stuff we wanted to do. We kept talking about stuff and holding off stuff. And, you know, so finally, all the stuff that we've been talking about, we were going to do, now we're finally getting around to it. So this is going to be a great show. And speaking of great, I want to just give a shout out to our boy Otto. It's his birthday today. Otto's been with me from my episode one. Otto's been on a couple of shows and co-hosted with me when I had just Skype. So nice. I want to thank Otto for his support. And I mean, I thank everybody for their support. But Otto's been with me from Jump Street, and I want to thank him for that.
Happy birthday, Otto.
Yeah, from Dave and I, happy birthday. I hope you're listening. Maybe you're listening on the download. I know he's a busy dude lately. So happy birthday to you. Okay, now, let's get into some business, Mega Power. Let's get some down business. What's that?
Rib business?
No, risky business, if you will. Mm. No risky business. All right, this is Rocktober. Obviously, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and this comes in at a great time. The Shining Wizards are doing a Kick Cancer campaign. There are T-shirts. They're pink and black. They say Kick Cancer on it, so let's kick cancer in the face and buy a shirt. Go to shiningwizards.com/kickcancer. Hit up the Shining Wizards. They will definitely hook you up with a shirt. I think the shirts are $20. I'm not sure. I forgot how much. I think they're $20. And they all go to a good cause, and we're all, you know, Matt's cause for him, for his stuff. So help him out and help out anytime you could, you know, pause for the cause. It's it works for you. You know what I'm saying?
I hear it.
Yeah, man. Is Matt? Oh, there's Matt. What the hell? Am I getting like that feedback, dude? Do you hear that feedback? I hear it on my headphones. Do you hear it?
No.
No. Damn it. All right. I don't know.
Like an echo or something?
Yeah. So, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'll try to tweak it out during the upload. Good evening to you, Matt. Matt's in the room. We just talked about Matt, actually.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Yeah, Matt's in the room, so that's cool. Hello to everybody. All right. So, Kick Cancer. Go help out Matt with his campaign to raise money for his meds because he's in Canada, and Canada sucks right now with medicine. That's out of the way. Not a lot of news, but just news that we can talk about, get into.
There's a lot of news.
Well, I got some stuff yesterday and stuff that you wanted me to go over today. We talked about. I already had it written down. So let's do some news.
We gotta have a news song.
I have the news song. You don't like the news song, though.
Oh, I remember that. I don't like that song. We need to find a new news song.
Why don't you like the news song?
I think I gave you an alternative.
Let's play the news song for old time's sake.
Hey, how's your news? Would you like to sing a tune? Would you like to chase your blues away?
Put on your dancing shoes and tell us how you do.
Everybody,
gather your friends with you, yeah, and switch on the
tune.
You don't need a tune. How's your tune?
That's right. How are you doing?
Right. Cut the music. I think my skin just melted on that. My skeleton is just hanging out. Jesus Christ.
All right, Mega Pals, we'll work on a new news song for you. And I just lost Dave's connection. I don't know what's going on with his connection, but hold on a minute. This is why we can't have nice things. Let me hang up with this knucklehead. Call him back. Because we can't have nice things. I don't know. Dave.
So bad. It ruined the Skype connection.
No, your connection's whack, dude, because it's been whack since we started. So I don't know what's
really
going on. Yeah, man. It's like I'm getting that feedback, and I don't know what the hell's going on. But anyway, all right. We'll work on a new news song, but that just play that one for old time's sake. We should get a new one anyway, but either way, that was pretty fucking awesome. Anyway, all right, the new Pro Wrestling Illustrated 500 list is out online. I don't know when the book drops. It should be dropping soon. Obviously, it evaluates all the pro wrestlers and their performances between July 1st of 2013 and July 31st of 2014. Here is your top 10. I don't know if you saw this. Did you see this?
No, I haven't seen it. I heard of it. I heard some wrestlers on my Facebook saying, don't worry about the numbers. Just keep getting in the ring and doing your best.
Yeah, because they didn't make it.
Because they didn't make it. Their asses didn't make it.
Pretty much. No disrespect
to anybody. They were like number 738.
Right. No disrespect to any of our wrestling fans and online that have fans on wrestlers on their fan page and all that other shit. Anyway, but yeah, the wrestlers who on our Facebook page who didn't make it, we're sorry. All right. Yeah. Number 10, Bully Ray. Number 9, Adam Cole, baby. Number 8, Magnus. Just became a dad. Him and Mickey James had a kid a couple days ago.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to them. She was hot, too. Remember that we saw her in person?
Yeah, she was hot.
Yeah,
she was absolutely hot. And I was kind of surprised because she's...
Nah, Megan, you're breaking up. All right.
All right.
Number 7, Roman Reigns. Number 6, Bray Wyatt. Number 5, Okada, which is cool. Number 4, AJ Styles. An obvious top 3 is number 3 is John Cena, number 2 Randy Orton, and number 1 is Daniel Bryan. So, you there, Dave?
Yeah. Do you hear me?
Barely.
Wow, let me hold on.
I don't know. It might be just Skype. We'll wait till Dave calls back in because his connection's terrible. But that's your top 10. Bully Ray, Adam Cole, Magnus, Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, Okada, AJ Styles, John Cena, Randy Orton, and Daniel Bryan. That's going to be your top 10 for the Pro Wrestling Illustrated 500. It's actually a good read if you pick it up. I mean, they go by performance and participation. I mean, some of these lists are debatable when they come out. I don't know if it's a thing where, you know, there's not enough wrestling going around, so I guess a lot of more indie guys are getting the rub because it's not like a really stiff competition to the E. But I didn't get to look at the whole list. When it comes out, we'll definitely Magnus is in a chain. He's number he's number 8. So, but Magnus is in it because he was hot from, again, it goes from July of last year, July, end of July of this year. That's the basis of the PWI 500 and how they rank it. So, I don't know, dude. I don't write the stuff. I'm just reporting the news. I'm a broadcast journalist. I don't write this shit. I don't vote on it. Mr. X Magnus. Yeah. Bill Apter signed last year's copy for me while I was at Legends of the Ring last year, so that's cool. I'm going to frame that because Bill Apter said, I'm not going to sign this. I haven't written for this magazine in years. And I said, I don't give a shit. You're going to sign it because I may not see you tomorrow. You know, you may get hit by a bus. You don't know. Let's see. Let's try this. All right. Are you there now?
I'm here.
Oh, Jesus, dude. Your connection's terrible.
Really?
Yeah, you're breaking up.
All right, hold on. Let me reboot and then try again. I'll be right back.
All right, go ahead. All right, so Mega Pals is going to reboot because his computer's WACK. While he's doing that, I'm going to log out of Skype and then log back in. So, and I was not going to continue with the news because the next topic I want Dave to get in on because it's pretty pertinent stuff. If you hear me typing, I'm sorry. But, you know what I'm getting on Skype, too? A lot of people like these. I'm getting, like, a bunch of shit. Like these, spam message people. Do you think they're fans? You take their request and, like, oh, you want to chat? Here, take my picture. And I'm like, ew. I just got spammed on Skype the other day. I thought they were, because the screen name sounded like a legit wrestling fan. I'm like, oh, this is great. Another fan to the show. Awesome. I'll add you to the list. And then it was like, no. No, it's spam. They don't want to talk to me. They want to fucking spam my computer. So, either way, I feel like I can't talk because fucking Dave is not here, this punk ass. But, anyway, that's pretty much it with that. Once he gets back in, we'll do some more news. I don't know. Is there anything else going on? You guys are shitting on Magnus. That's pretty funny. You know, I don't really... I didn't have a problem with him. I mean, the only thing I did have a problem with was that they... I didn't like him as champion. I think he's got good... good set of moves. I think he's a decent wrestler. And I don't know... Making him champion, I couldn't see it. You know? And I... Again, it was a thing where he's not a bad wrestler. I just thought they put him in a really shitty program. And it is TNA, so, I mean, which bothers me even more because their talent pool is not terrible. They have a lot of talented people in there. Then they could do things. And I'm hearing Dixie Carter is telling her people that there's going to be a live show at the beginning of next year. They're in negotiations for another network. I'm hearing the country music station. I'm hearing a bunch of shit. I'm hearing, like, CMT. I'm hearing Velocity. I'm hearing a bunch of other crap. I mean, I hope they sign. I hope they stay afloat. They need to stay afloat, I think. I think, anyway, they need to stay afloat. Mongo would kill Magnus. Nobody cares about Mongo, Tony C. Talk about Mongo on your show. We don't entertain awfulness on this show, unless it's a part of a throwback, which it's not, so. But, yeah, man, I didn't have a problem with him, I just had a problem with him, champion. And I hope TNA stays afloat, and I know that they have some really, and they're probably going to do that live show from Manhattan Center. It's a good crowd, so hopefully they'll do well. And hopefully this will, you know, turn out to be another good piece of fucking wrestling that we have on TV. I mean, stuff has to get better. You know? I'm not saying it's going to. I mean, it should. You know? So. Anyway. Hold on a second. My phone is blowing up over here. I upgraded to the fucking iOS 8 on my iPhone, and I opened the phone up after I do the update today. I was doing some stuff in the studio here. I was doing some editing for tonight's show, and I opened my phone, and every font on the phone is like the size of the screen. It's like fucking, I was like, whoa, very large font. I said, I'm not blind yet. Getting old, but I ain't blind yet. I gotta go into the settings. And everything moves like in slow motion, like a really bad karate movie. You know? So, yeah, Mickey James is a good-looking broad, man. Dave and I saw her earlier this year, and she was fucking delicious. Delicious, I must say. So, all right. So while we're waiting for Dave, I don't want to get into any more news. Sugar Shane wants to know... if you were to come on page, would it be considered sweat? I guess. I'd break her in half. She's like fucking 87 pounds. Axel, I'm not buying the iPhone 6. I'm not. That thing is too big. It's 2014. The phones are getting bigger. My sister got one of these. My sister switched to an Android. She's got one of these fucking Galaxy phones, and it's the size of a tablet. I don't need the size of a tablet. I'm always on the go, constantly moving. I don't need a phone the size of a fucking tablet. If I want a tablet, I'll buy a tablet. My boss just bought the iPhone. It's too big. I'm sorry. It's too big. I can't. And then, like, well, why don't you buy the iPhone, the regular iPhone 6? It's still big. It doesn't have enough memory on it. I download a lot of podcasts. I have a lot of sports and radio apps on my phone. And I have a kid, and I take a lot of pictures and video because he's funny. You know what I'm saying? So I can't deal with the big fucking phone. I upgraded to a 5 in the spring because they were giving them away for free if you swapped it. So the phone is good. If you had to upgrade, you had to upgrade. The only reason why I got the 5 is because it was available. So it wasn't a thing where it's, you know, where I was going to go out of my way, you know. My wife still has a 4. I still have my 4. My 4 is in mint condition, so if this thing ever breaks on me, which it probably won't, which I hope it doesn't. I keep my phones pretty good. I still have my 4, so it's not a big deal. So, but, yeah. I'm sure it's a great phone, Tony, but it's the size of a tablet, dude. I travel constantly. I'm not in my car until the weekend. I take mass transit every single day back and forth to Manhattan from Staten Island. I'm constantly on buses, constantly on trains. I don't need a tablet. I don't, dude. Those things are mad big. They're crazy big. I can't do it. Can't do it. You know? And it's a big debate, like, you know, Android versus the iPhone. I'm not, you know, I've been using iPhone since 2009. So, and now everything in my house is a Mac. I have a Mac, and I have an iMac. I have a MacBook Pro. I got an Apple TV. So all the stuff in my house is Mac. So if I switch to an Android phone, it's like defeats the purpose, you know? So anyway, either way. But the phones shouldn't be getting bigger in 2014. They should be getting smaller. They got fucking watch phones now, a bunch of stuff. Brandon Crawford, Grand Slam. Oh, that's right. Pittsburgh and the Giants are playing tonight, right? I was happy for Kansas City, by the way, last night, man. Happy for the Royals. I want a Royals and Pirates World Series. I know that sounds crazy, but if you guys are baseball fans, then hold on a second. I'm getting a message here. Here we go. Let's try this. Mega Powers, are you there?
Yeah, you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Oh, God, finally.
Dude, I guess your computer wasn't up to snub, I guess. I don't know.
My computer is beat to shit. Well, let's put it that way.
Yeah, you know what I do now before we start the show? Even though my computer's good, I have a lot of stuff on here now, you know, the main computer that I work the show off of. Mm. So I reboot the – thank you, Axel, for the score, by the way. I reboot the computer just in case now, because in case you don't have any fucking, you know, bugs or none of that crap. You know, sometimes it doesn't work, like all the stuff that me and Jocko recorded last week, like all the spots.
Yeah.
I didn't reboot the computer, and for some reason the file is corrupt.
Oh, Christ.
So we don't have Jocka's liner. We have, obviously, we have the show still, but the show is saved. It's fine.
Mm.
But either way, Butters is in the room. First time listening. Hello, Butters. Thank you for tuning in with us. Welcome to the madness. All right, so if you missed the show the first 12 minutes or so, Mega Powers had to reboot the computer. We're back in the fold. I mentioned the PWI. Let's get right into some more news.
Yes.
So Double J has been pushing his Global Force Wrestling for a while. The debut was supposed to be this month, but they pushed it to next year. So now we're hearing, which is insane, that he wants to do a pay-per-view in early January, which would be January 4th from what I'm hearing. It would be the same date as the New Japan's the annual Tokyo Dome show, right?
Yeah. Well, it turns out they're basically just going to put out on U.S. pay-per-view, the New Japan Wrestle Kingdom 9 pay-per-view, but, you know, titling it, you know, GFW presents, you know, New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Right. So it appears that Jarrett has brokered a deal to bring the Tokyo Dome show, like Dave said, to the U.S.
Yeah.
Sources indicate that the deal and all marketing for the pay-per-view would be branded Global Force and not New Japan. Now let me ask you a question. With all the we have a couple of New Japan questions from Facebook tonight from our fans. Let me ask you a question. With the exposure New Japan's been getting this past year, you think it's a good idea for them to jump right into something with Jarrett, who hasn't even had anything out on TV yet?
You know, anything's a good thing. I think with them in general, chances are, regardless of what kind of exposure they get in the U.S., it's, you know, it's not going to blow up. just as, you know, just from just how wrestling is performing at the moment, and you know, America's still just like one of those kind of countries where, you know, we want to see white people, you know, wrestling. We're not like still like cultured enough to, you know, have a pro wrestling event from like another country. Like, hey, we don't even have like Pride or any of those other companies. Those weren't showing in the U.S. So I don't really see New Japan like really making a mark, but you know, at the same time, it doesn't hurt for them to, you know, get their foot in the door in the U.S. because, you know, it just creates exposure. You know, people are going to see it. People are going to, you know, want to buy the pay-per-view just out of curiosity, you know, kind of like back in the day when, you know, what was it like the you know, Collision in Korea pay-per-view or the When Worlds Collide pay-per-view came on, you know, sure. Stuff like that. People are just going to like watch it anyway. You know, it's just like, even if they, you know, make an extra like 10, 20 grand, you know, it's still something.
I tell you what, I am prepared, and I'll even put in for the time off if it allows me. If they do this and they go live with it, it's going to be like 3 or 4 in the morning probably.
No, the New Japan Ustream one is going to be, you know, at like, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning. But with the GFW thing, they're going to, you know, release it on, you know, whatever like the next available, like, you know, Saturday or Sunday is. So it's going to be, you know, rebroadcasted at a reasonable time for people to watch it.
Well, I'm going to present it to the rant. I think you and I should do a pre-show for that, and we'll do
absolutely.
We're definitely going to get together for that, probably over here. Maybe the boys, maybe the Shining Wizards guys will get together with us too, a little get-together. That'd be pretty cool. I'm excited, and, you know, we've been excited about New Japan this whole year with the exposure they've been getting, and I guess you're right. I mean, I have to agree with you. If it give you any kind of exposure – good or bad, I guess. It's going to be good wrestling regardless.
Yeah.
Because Jarrett's been cherry picking people from other places too, but it's mainly going to be New Japan talent. So it'll be AJ Styles, it'll be Tanahashi, it'll be Okada, it'll be the Bullet Club, it'll be the Bucks.
I mean, yeah, and they're actually there is a bit of teasing that JR might do the English commentary. So you never know what's going to happen.
Which is genius on their part. If they bring him in, give him a big payday, see how it goes. If they get a good buy rate, then you know what? I mean, you have fans. You have a lot of fans of the Strong Style in the States. So, I mean, if they sell this and have English broadcasting commentary, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
It's a win-win. All right, so that's perfect.
Plus, JR is the one that threw it out there. He said that he would be interested in doing something like that.
Yeah, he most certainly did. All right. So there was some bad news on the week over the weekend. Sunday, I was on my way to City Field with the family to do our last hurrah at City Field for the Mets. It was the last game of the year. So we parlayed in the festivities, and I got a Facebook message from our boys, Mr. Dickinson and Mr. Mangway. They were stuck in traffic because they closed off the Battery Tunnel for some race for the Tunnel for Towers race for the 9/11 guys. And they weren't aware that the tunnel was closed, and they were stuck in traffic for like 7 hours, and they were going to the Beyond show. We plugged it last week. We were excited. We had Jocker on, and it was a good time, and they were all excited. Went to kick some ass, Doom Patrol. And when they get to the venue, they realize that there will not be a show that day. Apparently the venue that was being used, what's it called, Feet Music?
Fet Music.
Fet Music, okay.
Not Feet Music.
I that's why I
asked. Nobody playing a guitar, you know, the armless guy playing the guitar
with
his feet.
That's why I asked you to correct me. That's all. That's why I asked. I presented it as a question. Relax there, fucking hammer toes. So, Fet Music in Providence, Rhode Island. Fet Music in Providence, Rhode Island. Beyond Wrestling canceled their show. According to turn2ten.com, which is the local news affiliate in Providence, a shooting occurred that Sunday morning at the facility. The Beyond Wrestling show was set. It was canceled. The company reimbursed all the customers and offered a free barbecue. So
yes, they had they normally have the championship melt truck there, so they were giving some of that away too. But that's so bizarre. Some dude just getting stabbed.
No, he shot.
It was shot.
No, it was definitely a shooting.
Okay.
Yeah, I went on to the website, the turn to 10.com.
I got my weapons confused, my bad.
That's okay. That's all right. That's why I'm here for you, player. I'm here for you. That's pretty sad because that was one of their mainstays. Now they have to find a new venue.
Yeah, that was their place, which sucks because it was a really nice venue. It's like a rock club. Like they had like a stage there. They had the seats. They had some seats set up on the stage if you actually wanted to sit down. But for the most part, everybody's like standing. You know, which Jaka mentioned last week. You know, it's a pretty big deal when you have like fans standing for. Was it the show that I went to, American Rana? That was a good 6 hours that people were standing up for, you know?
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, and, you know, when I say this, you know, I mean this very loosely because I can't stand, like, being at shows, you know, for a long time, especially those PWS shows. Like, the last PWS show, you know, like, I wanted to see, you know, Eddie do his thing and all that, but it's kind of like, you know, once that show is over, I was out of there. Like, I could not, you know, stay like another minute in that fucking place because that show was running so fucking long. But for Beyond and their 6 hour show, which was even longer than the PWS show, it was totally worth like standing up. And I had to film the show, so I had to stand up. And my back was like in agony. Like, Hulk Hogan gave me a back rake. And, it was an absolute pleasure to be like in pain to film that show because the action was red hot.
Yeah, I got to catch a show with you, man. I spoke to Jocka last week and I spoke to Chris. We're definitely going to, I definitely got to go out there with them. And since they're local, I'll catch a ride because I can't cripple the family and take the car to Rhode Island for a whole day, you know? But definitely got to go up there and check them out. All right, so let's move on. I have some other news items I want to get into. This is pretty funny. WrestleMania 31 packages went out for traveling.
California Dreamin'.
Oh, yeah, man. This is funny. California Dreamin' travel package went on sale on Tuesday. I hope you have a credit card, a decent amount of money on it, because here's what you get. The package contains a ringside seat at Mania. The collectible chair, which is the ringside seats, obviously. Access tickets for premium VIP sessions. Reception with the WWE superstars prior to the Hall of Fame. Floor tickets to the Hall of Fame. Ringside tickets to Raw. Wine tasting tour with the legends.
What?
Round trip rail transport to Mania. A dine around card worth 50 beans. A 4-night accommodation at a San Jose area hotel. Now, take a guess. How much one ticket is?
$6,000.
$6,250. If there's two people going, it's $5,750. $5,600 for three people and $5,500 for four people.
Yeah, that truly is some California dreaming right there because I ain't going to drop that kind of money on a shitty WrestleMania because we all know that's what's going to be the deal.
Dude.
Well, wait a second. This last WrestleMania was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good, but let's be honest.
But it was good. It was just good.
I paid $5,000 2 years ago for a Disney cruise, and that was, like, amazing. And that was fucking 8 days, 7 nights in the Caribbean and in Disney. And
did they give you a rim job with that, too?
I got fucking – dude, put it this way. I got first-class service all around. They even made origami animals out of my towels in my room when –
what?
Yeah, man. Dude, it was top-notch. I'm spoiled. I never went on a cruise before. So, you know, we planned this thing. It was like, you know, our honeymoon. But we took Michael with us, obviously, because it was a couple months after our wedding. And I said, Tony, and I'm like, if you plan another cruise, I want to go back on the Disney boat. Because this dude, I'm telling you, it was like first class. It was like the classiest thing I ever did, man. It was amazing.
God.
Dude, I'll show you the pictures, man. It was amazing.
But yeah, I'm sure it was.
But I'm not paying $6,000 to go to fucking WrestleMania to California. That's insane.
Because I remember, a friend of mine? He's a big Skynyrd fan, and I think they do like a yearly cruise, and he's gone to it, and that's like $1,000 as well.
Right. So, we can go listener to the show, our pal Kristen, who lives in that area now. She's from Queens. She's a big fan of the network. Kristen said she's going to go, so hopefully she'll go and report and take pictures, and maybe she'll call in and talk to us.
Hopefully she's got some more room on that credit card. She get us some seats.
Yeah, well, you know what? I would go if – I mean, it's – dude, first of all, just to fly. You know, I just priced plane tickets to fly next year to somewhere, and between the three of us, it was like $2,000-$3,000. So that's $2,000-$3,000 right there to fly locally somewhere, not even like out of the way, you know?
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, because it's that's what's going on right now with the airlines. Then you got to pay for lodging. Then you got to pay for – you're not cooking. You're not – you know what I'm saying? You're not eating anything.
No.
That's not, you know, yours. You have to go out and get it, you know? And you, if you have a kid, you know, that's – you know, they want stuff from everywhere. So you have to do that. And it's like – it's, you know, it costs money, man. Again, if you're a single person or you don't have any children and that's a – it's a great package. But for married folks and families and the middle class, it's just – it's just not happening.
Yeah.
So – all right, let's move right along. I got an awesome package in the mail.
I saw your photo.
Oh, yeah, buddy. I got it in. I got it Monday. I took the day off. I had to run some errands, and I came home, and I was so excited because I saw this DVD.
Sting.
Yeah, buddy. I got the Sting DVD.
And we've been waiting for this for a while.
Now, my wife goes, why can't you just download it instead of paying $30 for it? Well, couple of reasons. One, because
first reason is because it's Sting.
That's right, because that's exactly what I told. That's what Mikey told her, because he goes, "Mommy, it's
Sting,"
and he did it just like that.
Yeah.
So, but that was the first reason. The second reason is I couldn't find the Blu-ray version of it on the download because I want the extra footage.
Yeah,
and more importantly, it's fucking
Sting.
It's Sting, and
Sting.
I'm almost done with the first disc. It's kind of outdated because a lot of his interviews are from back in the day. They're not recent unless they're the second.
That's strange. Like, why not get recent interviews? Like the Warrior thing, they had all recent interviews with him.
Because they didn't sign Sting at that time. That's first of all. And second of all,
with the gun with good old Steve.
Well, I'm sure he's on the second disc, more recent. I haven't seen the second disc yet, but it's really, really good, man. They go in order. They start with the Blade Runner stuff. They start with the Hot Stuff Incorporated with the UWF, and then they go right into the NWA, which is really, really cool. Pastor Sadell's in the room. How are you, Pastor?
You don't have the Amen theme song ready for him?
No, I didn't. You know what? I had it. And I didn't sound right, so I'm going to do it again. So So I'll definitely do that for Pastor. But here's the thing too. I had to have this, man. I had to have. I did download the United We Slam, the best of the Great American Bash, which is pretty cool. I got that on download. Mm. So I got that was 12 gig, but well worth it. Well worth it.
You know, I completely forget that they're still putting out, like, DVDs and Blu-rays and stuff like that with, you know, with the network and all. Like, I knew about the Sting, you know, DVD Blu-ray, but I completely, like, I heard nothing about the Great American Bash set. I think there was, like, some other stuff that came out. I didn't even hear about it or, like, you know, it was, like, just a whisper.
Yeah, certain stuff. Certain stuff I'll buy. Like, I'll buy Sting. They're doing a new Macho Man one. I'll do that. I'll buy the Macho Man one. I got the.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, especially the. Was it like the special package with the sunglasses, the bandana, and all that?
Yeah. Again, United We Slam is good, but I'm definitely gonna buy the Macho Man one.
United We Slam.
I got the Paul Heyman one on a download. Now, what's cool is too is if you guys don't want to buy the DVD, I'm a DVD mark, so whatever. That's me, and Dave knows that. But if you guys I'm getting into more digital stuff too, so maybe like on the next time around
you had like everything on like millions of hard drives in your house.
Yeah, that's why I bought the big hard drives. So I could start putting stuff on the hard drives. Now I want to back all my stuff up and start getting, you know, cuz you know, buying these DVDs, it just takes up a lot of room, you know.
Yeah, and plus you know, these formats are just like, you know, they're changing and, you know, stuff is becoming more digital, like you said. So it's kind of like, I'm sure there's just going to come to a point where they'll, you know, they're going to put together these packages and you just download it on your computer or whatever.
I'm really glad that.
Download it into your brain.
I'm glad to hear, right? Plug it right in like Johnny Mnemonic style.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that WWE is now offering the digital part of it now. So, I mean, you're not paying as much for it either. You know, and a lot of times, too, you know what they're doing now with the movies? Like, I went to go see Transformers.
Uh-huh.
And they offer these packages, these ticket packages now, where if you buy like the 3D version of it in a theater, or you buy a certain, like a family pack of it, they give you a download when the movie comes out.
Oh, nice.
So they're doing that a lot more, and I like that. You know why they're doing that? Because nobody's paying for stuff anymore. Like, you know, I want to go to...
Yeah, people are going to get their hands on it anyway, you know, right. So might as well, you know, right. Have them, you know, trick them into buying
That's
it.
That's why it costs $60 now to go to a concert, because fucking nobody's buying music anymore.
Well, to quote Coolio, who I was listening to being interviewed today, he said, he's predicting the man who wrote Gangster's Paradise and Fantastic Voyage said there's going to be a time and place where even concerts will probably be free. And funny enough, I've seen Charles Bradley 3 times over the summer for free, which is insane.
Well, yes and no. There's the genre and the greatness that is Charles Bradley isn't a popular thing.
It is a popular thing. Well, no, actually, the last concert that I went to of his was last week, like a secret like Ray-Bans concert.
Right, but it's in New York, right?
Yeah.
Right, but if he does this in Oklahoma, he's not going to pack the house out.
Unless, you know, similar to that concert, like there's these sponsors that are, you know, paying for him
right.
to perform.
But they're not going to pay for him to play in Oklahoma. They know they're going to get a hot crowd in New York. Listen, man, Sick of It All just dropped their new album yesterday. I heard it today. I got it. It's amazing. Okay. Love the New York hardcore icons, punk icons, amazing, Sick of It All. They get all their money, all these hard metal and punk bands now, and all these bands that we grew up listening to. They tour everywhere else except for the States because they sell. They don't.
Yeah, because people don't buy shit here.
or if they play in New York, or if they play their home crowd, you know,
yeah.
Like you know, Nickelback is not going to sell out Jones Beach anymore. But
that's why they're playing like Mexico and stuff. That's where
right,
people care about
but
them.
But Nickelback is from I think where Matt's from, like Vancouver, right? So if they play in Vancouver. You know, they're going to sell out. It's the same concept. They don't – I love. Oh, man, New Edition. Pastor Del just went
Listen,
there.
Listen, I'm not going to pay no ticket to go see New Edition, especially if Bobby Brown's not going to be with
You're me. Insane, dude. I would pay to see all of them. Even Johnny Gill, you're insane. But anyway, that's just me. And Pastor, obviously. But you see my point. Like, it's – you know, Charles Bradley is amazing. He's not going to get that crowd in fucking Wisconsin, unfortunately. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know if New Edition is going to get that crowd in Wisconsin.
They'll get a bigger crowd than Charles Bradley, even though
that may be true.
Yeah, of course it's true.
Don't know. Don't know until it happens.
But either way, all right. So
things are changing, Phil. There's a big rift between the working class and the rich these days.
Your word to God's ears, brother. I'm there. I want this to happen. I want another movement. I want another smack in the face like the ECW grunge era. I want something. To turn as an older person who's not in the demographic anymore, I want to be in shock again. I want to be, you know, entertained again, wrestling included, you know. I want a music boom again. I want something to happen, you know.
Yeah, man. Like, it's strange that, you know, for me, like, I used to be, like, so up on, like, anything and everything. And it's like I'm just buying like the newest albums that I'm buying or by like bands that I listened to like over 10 years ago. Like,
yeah,
Rancid has a new album out. So, you know, I pre-ordered that. But it's kind of like, well, there really aren't any good punk bands except for the old bands. It's like, you know, what the hell's going on?
I was listening to some punk today. I broke out the Mighty Mighty Boston's. I opened up with the Boston's today because I'm just it's that kind of party. I'm not into. I mean, my favorite band is. My favorite band of all time, Black Sabbath, they're pushing 70 and they're going to tour again.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're the gods and they're my heroes. But
it sucks that, like, those are, like, the bands that we're still looking forward
yeah.
to. There's, and like, nobody else.
And it sucks that it's going to cost my wife and I $200 to see them like it did last year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's $100 a ticket because they don't make any money off their music anymore, Dave.
No.
You know, it's sad.
And I'm sure the venues, too, you know, have a say in it as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, you know, back in the 90s when there was like friggin' Lollapalooza and all that. Like people were, you know, throwing their arms up in disgust that t-shirts were like $20. And now that's like a normal thing. But like back then it was like reason why those t-shirts were so much at the concerts were because the venue was like taking a percentage out.
Before we get into your new DVD that you purchased, you saw Fozzy with the Wizards a couple of months ago, right? You said there was like eight people there.
It was just like eight people there, right. But like the place could only fit like eight people.
Well, they're playing Sunday night in Manhattan.
Where at?
I think the Gramercy.
Gramercy?
So
okay.
That place holds a couple of thousand people. Do you honestly think they're going to – it's going to be small wrestling fans. It's not going to be anybody who's a
– you never know. Like, well, in Jersey, like, I don't know. It's so hard to say nowadays. Like, you know, but at the same time, like, this album that just came out has been getting a lot of, like
– well, yeah, they switched it up a bit.
A lot of notice.
Yeah, they switched it up a bit. It's not the same sound. So that's an old
– yeah, it sounds more – I don't want to say popish, but it's more radio friendly.
I dig it. It's not terrible.
They were radio friendly before, but now they've just kind of
sign of the times.
They've really upped their game. Yeah,
sign of the times, Mega Powers. That's what it is. All right,
man, if you want to get your name out there, besides Europe.
Yo, I ain't selling out to nobody though, son. That's just you and I are not selling out. So we're not switching nothing up. We're not changing our style. This is it. We're not selling out to the masses. Let them do it. I'm not giving into the man. Are you giving into the man?
Hey man, if I were to give into the band, I would be so fucking boring and
you wouldn't be on this. You wouldn't be on my show. You wouldn't be on this show at all.
You have a good sense of me now. Like if I'm not into something, I just kind of drop out, and that's just how it goes.
Right, that's the bottom line.
I can't fake it.
That's why I love you so much.
Yeah.
Right. Now, when are you coming to my house, and when are you bringing this DVD to me? Because I have to see what you bought.
I don't know. Whenever we can get Chris in or whatever the next pay-per-view is.
Let's talk about what you got, which came out. We knew about it when we got the message, what, May or June?
Something like that. It's been a while.
And I'm stoked. Talk about it.
Well, I got the four disc.
Yes.
Dynamite Kid Best Of put out by New Japan Pro Wrestling. This thing cost an arm and a leg. Like I had to break into my neighbor's house, beat up the guy's wife, who was not that hard to beat up, and then, you know, steal this guy's arm and his leg so he can't chase after me. So I can get this DVD.
Oh boy.
And which was in my opinion, I don't even know how to really put this into words. They really went all out for this because they literally, like, I'm guessing it was inspired by the High Spots documentary that was put out, because the two of those discs are literally the High Spots documentary. They put it in there.
Okay.
It's same packaging. I haven't popped that part in because you let me borrow it and I've seen it already. But it was inspired by that. So New Japan actually went out of their way to interview this guy again, as well as interview like his top opponents, which was Tatsumi Fujinami and the original Tiger Mask, Sayama, who's wearing the Tiger Mask when they interview him.
Yeah, he's not breaking kayfabe. Come on.
Well, he's wrestled without the mask for a long time now.
Oh, he has. Okay, so he did break the kayfabe.
He wrestled like even before he was Tiger Mask, he was wrestling as Sammy Lee.
Right, but there's been four Tiger Masks, right?
Yeah, there's four Tiger Masks.
Okay. So he was the original.
Yeah, he was the original. Okay. He's the best and the only Tiger Mask in my opinion.
Exactly.
And everybody else was just just often imitated, never duplicated, as Lou Albano would say.
Right.
But it was really cool and really heartfelt, because what's it called? Dynamite Kid, the dude doesn't really say much other than like a few words. You know, if you've seen the High Spots documentary, check it out, because you know, they went all out. They did like a Kickstarter for it. Only downside to the High Spots thing, it still looks like a cheap, shitty shoot interview. But the plus side, they got everybody involved in it. You know, the whole Hart family, David Boy Smith Jr., you know, tons of other guys.
Awesome. I can't wait.
But the New Japan one is a bit, you know, better. They actually Sugar Shane's asking if I got it from the PureWrestuShop.com. I didn't get it from there. I got it from Amazon Japan.
Oh, boy.
And
of course, they have 55 million yen.
Yeah, something like that. Like, it's ridiculously expensive. I'm just putting it out there. It's like over $100. But that's just how things cost over there.
And that's just how dope that is, because if you weren't going to buy it, I was buying it. So either way, we were going to have it.
So they do interviews with these guys. Actually, like, you know, Fujinami and Sayama, they do special video messages for Dynamite Kid, which they show to him during the in between the matches, which are outrageous. I forgot how brutal this guy was. This guy, I know the dude was like roided out, but I forgot just how brutal this guy was in the ring. Like, there's like one match where he's like fighting this black dude. I don't even know who this guy is.
Right.
I'm pretty sure whoever he was, this was like his last tour of Japan, his last match ever, because Dynamite literally just beats the shit out of this guy within a 2-minute span. It goes to the top rope, hits the diving headbutt, and literally connects head to head with the dude. And just to show how vicious it was, like, he's bleeding from the forehead because of how, like, deep he went into this guy's skull, gets the pinfall. And that's not the only match where he's doing the diving headbutt and hitting the guy with his forehead and getting juiced in the process. So there's even one Tiger Mask match where he's – it's like a double count out, double DQ, something like that, and you know, similar to like a boxing match, you know, they have like those bottles that are taped up, you know, filled with water, and you know, by ringside, he goes outside of the ring, grabs one, like these are glass bottles with like tape around them. He breaks the thing across the corner post. There's glass all over ringside. There's glass inside of the mat. And he's chasing after Tiger Mask with this friggin' broken bottle. It's insane. And a lot of these matches you can find on YouTube, but there's even more matches that you can't find on YouTube that are on this 4-DVD set. And the quality is perfect with very few exceptions. There's one thing I really like about these New Japan DVDs, you know, they besides Dynamite Kid, they did Stan Hansen, they did Andre the Giant, they did Bruiser Brody. They'll have like fan cam footage, like they'll have like stuff that some dude shot, you know, while in the crowd,
like ECW did.
Yeah, you know. It's like perfectly watchable. But this is just like an event that wasn't taped, like one of their house shows, and just like a match that he had. You know, while they're doing their tours, you know, can't see anywhere. There's even some like television footage that like is just like, you know, just beat to shit. It looks like this, like it looks like Grindhouse like kind of movies, like the 42nd Street Kung Fu movies or something. It's just like really like bad footage that they couldn't really, you know, restore. A lot of it's like looks amazing, you know, for its age, because you know you're thinking about like. In his prime in New Japan, this was like early 80s, like 1980, 81, you know, before he came to the WWF with David Boy Smith to do the British Bulldogs. So really excellent footage. My only complaint about the set is that any tag matches are edited to whenever he's in the ring, which I have a real – I'm like one of those guys – I'm one of those kind of guys. I want to see the entrance. I want to see the full match. I want to see them leave the ring, you know, whatever aftermath happens after the match. You know,
I'm totally the same way.
Yeah. But, you know, the trade-off is you're getting like 18 matches on a disc for this guy's heyday in New Japan, which is, you know, again, you can't find a lot of this stuff on YouTube. You can't really find it anywhere. So it's kind of like, whoa. I got this on a DVD. The condition is great. Watching Dynamite Kid, you know, say two words that you know, otherwise you wouldn't hear this guy, you know, talking in the first place.
Right.
And another caveat to all this, it comes with a booklet. One cool thing about Japan is, you know, they give an advantage for people that, you know, jump on, you know, pre-ordering this kind of stuff. And it came with like a free, well, not a free booklet, but it came with a booklet that has like a lot of like old clippings of his time in Stampede. There's actually a Stampede match on there. Him against Tatsumi Fujinami for the WWF Junior Heavyweight Championship. And just a really phenomenal collection, you know, put together, even for a British guy. I'm kind of surprised that I'm putting the British over on this one. But he's in Japan, so he had to up his game, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. So all in all, great stuff. I can't wait to see it. I know you're coming for Survivor Series. Unless we have the Dirty Daddy or Jocka back in the studio with us beforehand. If not, definitely bring it for Survivor Series. And we'll have a little get together anyway, and I could back
who
him up.
Who will survive?
Well, we're gonna survive, and I'm gonna back up that awesomeness that is the Dynamite Kid 4-disc box set.
Well, 2 discs, because you already got the other 2 discs already.
Well, yeah, so I'll just back up those 2 other discs.
Unless you want to watch them again with subtitles on them.
No, if it's the same exact thing, then no, I don't want to.
Yeah, it's exactly the same
thing. Then I just want the matches, absolutely. Yeah. All right, let's get to some Facebook questions, and then we'll take a break, and then we got an awesome throwback segment for you tonight.
Oh, wait. Did you mention while I was gone that Sting supposedly signed with the WWE?
Sting. It's not confirmed, though. I mean, there's a rumor. You want to talk about it? I mean, I don't know.
Well, supposedly the deal is he signed for at least 1 match. What do you think about that? Who's going to be the guy that he if it's true, who would be the one guy that Sting's going to face?
It's probably going to be Undertaker or Triple H. I don't see anybody else him going with anybody else at this point.
Because there's some sort of rumor going around that Bray Wyatt. There we go. I said it right.
You got it.
You
got Bowmanism tonight.
He made some sort of mysterious tweet about the Scorpion.
Maybe. I don't want him in the ring. You want him in the ring? We're indifferent about that.
Not with Bray Wyatt.
No. I don't like it. If he's got to go in the ring at 56 years old, it's got to be something relevant. It's got to be well. I'm not saying Bray Wyatt's not relevant, but there's got unless this starts now and you're gonna build it and tell me a good story, then sell me on it.
Yeah, but, he's got to act ASAP.
You know, until then, I want and it maybe to you know. Maybe he'll do. Maybe he'll Bray will do the Black Scorpion. Imitate the Black Scorpion, but yeah, I don't. Again, I don't see it. But hopefully, you know, if it's one of the cryptic tweets that I saw the other day, like he put, I don't know. I'm indifferent about it. I don't want to see. I want to see him in some capacity.
Yeah.
One more thing about Sting. My son asked me to pre-order the game for him, and I'm pissed off. For him, anyway, not for me. I can care less. That because we don't have the newer systems, and apparently there's only 54 characters for the PS3 and the Xbox 360, and 90 something characters for the PS4, and the Xbox One. Matt, I do have the new body count CD. It's almost sounds the same as the old one. It's not terrible if you're into body count. I actually have the original CD. Before they pull off the shelf with the Cop Killer on it. So I don't know how much money it's worth, but not to get off topic, but getting back to Showtime. It is Showtime. It's about Sting. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. It's about Sting. Yeah, I don't get that. You know, you pre-order it, you get Sting either way, but I don't know.
You want the 90 characters.
Yeah, if Mikey does. Mikey uses all the characters. He's 7, you know. I
bought the last game 2K14 and yeah. I used all the characters.
Yeah, so he does that. So
even Titus O'Neil.
We're talking about upgrading anyway. I mean, he's shown some interest, so we'll see what happens. But I'm a little pissed off about that.
Yeah.
All right. You want any other news before we get into Facebook questions or?
That's it.
All right. We covered all our bases. We got the New Japan stuff, then the DVD review, the Sting stuff. We're good.
Yeah.
All right. Tank wants to know, Question A: with the success of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, is it time for a spinoff called Lunch with the Dog? That's me, obviously. And question B: with tonight's episode being fantasy warfare, could a fantasy league start from this? To answer question one, because Dave can't answer that one because Tommy's speaking of me, like Don Tony does Breakfast with Blasey. Tommy, I don't have enough upload minutes or time to do two shows on this. Once in a while, my wife does her thing. That's only like a couple of minutes, though. But I don't have enough. I have to pay to upload this, and I'm paying for it. Nobody else is. So unless the networks want to pick it up and download it on this site on their own, I will do a spinoff show, which would be just me ranting about just everything and wrestling too. So I don't know if the fans want it and the rant or the Shining Wizards Network want to upload it without me uploading it to their feed and paying for it, then I'll try to make some time for it. But until then, I can't afford it. I just bought enough time for Dave and I to do our show. So, because it costs money to upload, you have to pay like a package, you know? You get a certain amount of upload time a month. So, anyway, question two, yeah, we could start a fantasy league. I just can't run it. If you guys want to run a fantasy league, that'd be outstanding. Cause
I would love to. I used to do one on the WrestleCrap board years ago, but it just takes so much time. But
here's the deal:
I know somebody tried to do it before, but nobody was jumping on the bandwagon.
Okay, a couple of months ago, when the summer started, I started a message board for the show. I put it on Facebook, and I believe it was Mr. X that reached out to me and said, if you want to run the board, he can run the message board. I don't want to hold Mr. X to it. I remember I was vaguely having a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. I have a message board with the name on it. I'll put it up for everybody to do. If you guys are going to do it, we'll do it on the message board. We'll do a Facebook page for it. I can't start a website. I can't afford one. I'd love to. Once we get the TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, which I bought the domain name, and once we get the site up and running, we could do something with it, but I would definitely do a fantasy league. The problem is I can't run it. I can contribute. I'll write for it. I'll do storylines. I can't run it. I could be a commish. Dave and I can be commissioners. We can, like, you know, we can, like, I guess, officiate shit. But we would definitely love to do it. If you guys want to do it and if you're serious about it, definitely inbox us later on or tomorrow or whatever, and we'll get that ball rolling. Or if you know of a message board that's feasible for it, a different kind, let me know, let Dave know, and we'll let you guys run it. It'll be yours, and I'm sure you guys come up with some amazing shit because you guys are awesome. So, Dave, you cool with that? I mean, I'm good with that.
I'm cool.
All right, cool in the gang. Greg Jones, thank you for chiming in. Greg wants to know, will you guys do a throwback on an FMW show? Hello, Miss Unsilent Majority. She just came in and gave me a hug and left. You want to say hi to everybody?
Yo.
Greg wants to know.
I just want to give you kisses.
Oh, I love you, honey. Greg wants to know, will we do a throwback on the FMW show anytime soon? We have some FMW footage. You want to do an FMW throwback? I'll do an FMW.
I've been thinking about some deathmatch stuff lately too. There's some stuff I used to watch back in the day that I would like to cover. I don't recall too much FMW. I could be wrong, but
I got a ton of stuff with the Headhunters and Mike Awesome and Onita and Funk. I got a bunch of stuff. I have the. We can even do the IWA King of the Deathmatch with Cactus. We can do that too.
I have that somewhere around the house.
I own it, sitting right next to me. So don't even worry about it. We'll definitely do some deathmatch shit though. I want to do that supermarket thing too. That supermarket deathmatch. I gotta find that.
There was something I just posted on the Stud Plexus board, which was the what the hell match was it? Let me pull it up on my phone. It was the Salt Lemons and Mustard Death Match, featuring Honma from New Japan now against Zandig from CZW.
Wait, Grooms wants to know: have I ever shined my nuts with a telephone?
I don't know what that means.
It's a Jerky Boys reference. Good shot there, Barrel Ass. Yeah, no, we have a bunch of deathmatch stuff. We will definitely do that. But if you guys want to do a fantasy league, let me know. I know Grooms. That's how I met Grooms. We did the IWA like 15 years ago. So Jay, I think Jay still does it. So if you guys want to do something, I'll definitely we'll definitely do it. Nixon's in the chat room. What's up, Nixon? NXT Cast. Last episode kicked ass, by the way, fellas. You're doing a great job over there. But yeah, again, you guys want to do it, we'll set it up. Inbox me, we'll work out something, and we'll get that going. All right. Let's see. Axel wants to know, with Roman Reigns currently injured, do either of you guys think Dean Ambrose might be able to overtake that quote-unquote next guy status and possibly main event at 31 instead of Roman Reigns? Dave, you want to take this?
Oh, man, it's so hard to say because, you know, WWE is, you know, sometimes it's very unpredictable, yet very predictable at the same time. Like, you know, to be quite honest with Reigns, I really don't know. The guy doesn't have much of a personality. He looks cool. He looks like, you know, he could be a top guy. But he's got to really, you know, pull it together. As far as Dean Ambrose, like, as much as I love the guy, I don't really feel that they're showcasing him and his personality, you know, like the way it could be. And I still feel, even for him, he still really needs to develop his character.
Yeah.
I hate to, like, say it for everybody because they're all great wrestlers. You know, I saw Ambrose's Moxley, John Moxley, you know, back in, like, Dragon Gate USA and CZW. Well, I didn't go see him in CZW, or did I? I don't remember, but I saw him in Jersey All-Pro and all this other kind of stuff. You know, the guy has a mystique to him. He does have an aura to him. But I really feel like these guys are still, I don't know, like, I still feel like they need to have some sort of, like, adversity put in front of them, you know, like, you know, Ziggler has. Because it's really bringing out, like, some character in the dude. It's bringing out some, like, great promos, some great matches out of Ziggler. And I feel like, you know, that you can't really just, like, take, you know, guys like that and just throw them at the top. They really need to
groom them.
Yeah, they need to groom them. They have to have, you know, some sort of obstacle in front of them, you know, to, you know, really develop who they are. Because I still don't, you know, they're having great matches. That's awesome. But, you know, their characters are just still like them, and I don't really know who they are, you know?
The problem with this ADHD wrestling fan community, internet wrestling community, and the fans that go to the shows, they forget how long it took for guys like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels to get to that plateau.
Yeah, like, well, listen, Bret Hart was in WWF, like, I want to say, like, 85.
84 was his first year.
Yeah, 84 to, you know, when he get his first title, singles title run, 91.
Right.
So that's,
right,
like, almost, like, 10 years right there.
Exactly. So, I mean,
and the guy was already wrestling for a number of years in Stampede before that.
Right, right. So, I mean, it's, I love Ambrose. I don't think he's got that look to him. For me to put him on the top of the food chain, I'd have to repackage him. This whole, you know, crazy person gimmick has been done a million times with guys like Brian Pillman and Piper and you know, that kind
of thing. It's, you know, it's very obvious that, you know, he takes, you know, a nod to a lot of those guys, but I don't know. It's not fully formed. You know, I love him to death. He definitely deserves, you know, to be in the spot that he's in, but I don't know. It's still not very compelling television for me. I love watching the matches, but I don't know. Rushing some of these guys isn't really working out. And I'm already hearing that they're planning on rushing, Kenta and Devitt, or you know, whatever their new names are,
Finn,
you know to the main roster by time of the Rumble. I don't know if that's true.
It's not true. That's bullshit.
Oh, okay.
Nobody knows when they're gonna come up because they got so many guys in the fold, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, at the same time, I feel like the main roster is still, you know, is stacked as it is. You know, it still needs that variety to, just to get people moving, just to get people kind of competitive with one another in a way that'll bring out, you know, the best in them. Not just best matches, but best everything, the total package. Lex Luger had more character than some of these guys.
Yeah, we spoke about this. All right. Yeah.
Endlessly.
Baza asked about, with New Japan pay-per-views coming to English commentary, we spoke about this, but who would you guys go as a two-man broadcast team? We already talked about Jim Ross. Who would be Jim Ross's color guy?
Well, he said he wanted CM Punk, you know, to be his color guy with him. You know, I really want to, like, throw something different than those two guys, but at the same time, there really isn't, you know, a better option at the moment.
You know what, Dave? I got to disagree. You can throw our friend, Mr. Joel Gertner, and Joel would probably be a great adversary going against JR in some spots and then going with him and being that you know, that humor that he needs, you know. And
that Joel, is true, or Joey Styles.
Yeah, but Joel Gertner is pretty knowledgeable, too. I mean, Joey Styles on the contract with WWE, so he's not going to go anywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, Tommy Dreamer. He's like the biggest wrestling fan ever.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of fans of the Strong Style that are not under contract with the E, so, I mean, there's a lot of options.
Yeah, it would have to be some sort of worker, you know, to do it. You know, it's really hard to find, like, good commentators now. Like, I've never been a fan of...
Carino. Carino was... wasn't he 0-1 champion? I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, Carino could do it. It was on the ROH contract, but I'm sure he'd be allowed to work New Japan.
Well, they have a deal with New Japan, don't they?
Yeah, so, I mean, that'd be perfect. Even Kevin Kelly. Kevin Kelly can do it. He's worked with JR before.
Yeah.
So I would love to see that. So that would be all, guys. Stuart Bunn, welcome to the page. He asked about Sting and Bray Wyatt. Dave and I already covered that.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much for chiming in with that. Good job. Tony C. wants to know, why do all these wrestling fans continue to chant for someone who quit on them and the business? Are you fellas as sick of it as I am? He's referring to CM Punk and the Chicago thing the other night, and Stephanie actually acknowledged the crowd and said they're a bunch of quitters like CM Punk was. I thought that was pretty cool. Again, fans do it, Tony, to get themselves over. It's just that simple. It's not rocket science. The fans don't know what they want. It's that ADHD mentality. It's everything, you know, anything that's 10 minutes or more, like I mentioned, this is awesome. You know, it's that kind of party.
I like it. Frankly, I don't care. You know,
I don't care really either, but I mean,
it shows that the fans are, they give a shit.
Right. But the fans,
and you know, at the end of the day, like I mentioned a few shows ago, you know, when I'm watching some of this stuff, I don't give a shit about the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. I don't care about the rumors. I don't care if the guy, you know, quit because he was tired or whatnot. I just want to see him wrestle. And a lot of that's how the fans feel. Just want to see him wrestle.
The fans have to accept, and I kind of agree with you too, but the fans just have to accept that the product is not for them anymore. And I don't mean that as to say, like, they're not doing it. It's not for the real wrestling fan. It's the entertainment aspect of it. They don't care about the wrestling part of it no more. If you can go into the ring and perform halfway decent but kind of entertain at the same time, and Dave spoke about the complete package deal, they don't have as many complete package deals as we got back in the day. Storylines are...
Look, guys had to figure out who they were.
Right, exactly. And guys aren't... Stories aren't written for them by other wrestlers anymore. The creative is awful at this point. It's pretty much almost unwatchable, which I'm kind of glad.
Except for NXT. NXT
is great. But I'm glad you don't watch it every week like I do. And I'm glad now because, again, it has been unwatchable for quite a couple of weeks now. So, again, and we talked about this. It's like beating a dead horse. So, I mean, until they... a reform of some sort, it's going to be the same thing until, you know, they figure out something different. It's just that kind of party, or until Vince dies and Triple H gets to run the company the way he wants it. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. Let's see here. One more question. Sugar Shane, is it a big mistake for TNA having Bound for Glory in Japan? Do you think if they get a different network, would it be a good place? I would like to see them either on FX, AMC, or Versus. We spoke about this briefly tonight, and we also spoke about it with the network thing. They're in negotiations, obviously. They're doing the Bound for Glory in the same building as Wrestle 1 when they do the Bound for Glory thing. So, in other words, Wrestle 1's going to have their show, and then Bound for Glory is going to have their show. TNA's going to have their show in the same building. I don't know. I can care less, actually.
I thought Wrestle 1 was teaming up with TNA. Well, I thought it was a...
they are, but not...
combined show.
No, it's not a combined show. They're working together, but it's not a combined show.
Hmm.
So, I want to see them stay on TV. I'm selfish. I'm a wrestling fan. What do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, because, well, you know, at the end of the day, more wrestling, you know, the better. But, I saw some of the matches. They don't look too exciting to me. Like, they don't even have, like, the Wolves on there or anything.
Yeah.
I hope it's a good pay-per-view. I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think it is a good thing for them to do, because it's just kind of like, you know, anything at this point is a good deal for them to do. You know, doesn't matter if it's in Japan or whatever. You know, just as long as they show people giving a shit about them, that's what matters.
That's it. It's pretty much.
You know, whether they got to do the shows at, you know, the Manhattan Center every week or Japan or whatever, you know, as long as they show, like, hey, people go to our shows, people care about the product, the fans are into it, that's what matters.
All right, partner, it's that time of night. Let's take a quick break, plug off friends. I got some new commercials and stuff to drop on you guys and some new stuff. And we'll be back. We got a kick-ass throwback for you guys tonight. Once again, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live on The Rant, and we are a Shining Wizards Network production, and we will be right back.
The following is a paid announcement.
So, what do you want to do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
You boys a bit bored? Snap me to it! Snap me to a Slim Jim! Turn to the spice! Make me just a taste! Hey, nice! Antique! Snap me to it! Need a little excitement? Snap me to a Slim Jim!
There are many ways that you can support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Go to iTunes. Search out the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media. Leave a review and download all the other fine programming that's on those networks. We're on Stitcher, we're on Buzzsprout.com, AudioBoom.com, and GeekLifeRadio.com every Saturday evening. Got Facebook? Hit us up on Facebook.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks and join our group. We're on Twitter, @TBuckleTBacks. Want to email the show? TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We're on Rant EM Radio. We're on the Shining Wizards Network. It's entertainment here.
Can I get one of those woo tickets?
Excuse me?
One of those woo tickets.
It's not woo, it's woo!
Woo!
Woo! Introducing Ric Flair's new woo! Scratch-off ticket for the North Carolina Educational Lottery with a top prize of $100,000. It's enough to make anyone say, woo!
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 Yo, Big Phil here, reminding everybody, when you're done with our show, head on over to the Shining Wizards Network. That's right, the mothership, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, for 9 fantastic shows. How about Apex Radio from our boy Stickman up in the north, bringing you the down low on everything in the Ottawa wrestling scene? How about 2.5 Wrestlers with Jay Silva, Pat Buck, and Kevin Matthews? Now with Brian Myers. You know him better as Kurt Hawkins. Now he has something to do. How about the Midnight Jury with our pals Mike and Adam, transporting you back to the last old school generation as they debate in detail 80s and 90s pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture? How about Pro Wrestling 101 with the hardcore icon himself, Justin Credible? How about the only pro wrestling and heavy metal podcast, the Neckbreaker Podcast, with our boys Brian and John? How about Justin, the two Timmies, and Vince breaking it down with the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast? How about our buddy Dave Destruction from Pro Wrestling Syndicate with Thursday Night Destruction? And, of course, the Shining Wizards. So, guys, what are you waiting for? ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Minneapolis, St. Paul, listen up. This is Jesse the Body Ventura talking to you from the Chicago Lake Liquor Store across from Sears in Minneapolis. Where should you turkeys go to buy your beer? Chicago Lake Liquor Store. You can get the finest in domestic beer as well as imported beer. You can drink little bottles or drink it like the body does.
Chicago Lake Liquor is the number one beer store. They buy more, so you buy for less. Save even more on 3K Special. Number one, Chicago Lake Liquor.
Hey, kids. You like the show? You like the shirts that we're wearing? Well, we're selling them. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. We have three awesome styles. We have the original logo with artwork by Dean Stahl. We have the NES cartridge parody logo shirt. And the British-inspired World of Wrestling Turnbuckle Throwbacks Shining Wizards Network shirt. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks t-shirt, man. What are you waiting for? Be the envy of all your friends at your next wrestling event. And, of course, the girls dig it. Chicks love a good throwback. I know. I'm living proof. Hey, guys, as soon as you're done with our show, head on over to rantemradio.com. That's right, rantemradio.com for an awesome lineup of live programming starting every Tuesday night live at 8 p.m. with The Rant, starring Double A and Tony C. Every Wednesday night at 9 p.m., you have the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with myself and the Mega Powers. Every Saturday evening at 11 p.m., you get the Wrestling Call-In Show, hosted by Mr. Will I Am Morgan and Rage. Of course, you have the What Are You Reading comic book show every Sunday at 5 p.m. with Surfer and Jordan, with a guest appearance by the Lex Experience podcast. It's the opinions you love, the history you crave. This, my friends, is Rant EM Radio.
Buddy, this is original Globe Girl Little Egypt, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Podcast.
What? You want to fuck with me? Who the fuck do you think I am? You fucking dumb boy? Dumb boy. Do you want to go to war? Come on. Do you want to go to war? We'll take you to war, okay?
This is war. Ain't staying here, no for steel. This is war. Cavalry machine captains at the hill. This is war. Chemical agent shoes in the field. This is war. Light them up like it.
It's time for Fantasy Warfare.
Yeah, buddy. Cash Cow's in the room. What up, Cash Cow? All right. There you go. I love that ultimate, I love that Ultimate Warrior spot, dude. That was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that he did the Slim Jim commercial before Macho Man, and then, like, that was the only one he did.
Right, and then Tony.
Then after that, it was just all Macho Man.
Well, the best part of that was the Tony Schiavone spot, the the promotional consideration spot.
Yes, I didn't know that he did one of those.
Yeah, all right. So the intro you just heard, besides Little Egypt, thank you to her, by the way, again, that was our new segment, Fantasy Warfare. It's going to be
Fantasy Warfare.
Yeah, and put some the Coca Nostra in there, a little Slayer. And, of course, a little bit of the Impact player as well. All right. So, here's how this is going to work. We asked you guys, some of you guys were serious, some of you weren't. Thank you anyway for your contributions. Some of them were great. Some of them were retarded. Some of them were awful. But we respect all of them. We thank you all for your contributions. Dave and I always talk about this. You know, what if so-and-so fought so-and-so? Even if they fought, like, for real, you know, like in a real storyline they had on TV or whatever, but with a twist or something else, or who would you like to see fight in Fantasy Warfare? Like, who would you like to see from different genres and different decades and different, you know? Different
some guys are just, you know, there's a lot of guys that did get to tangle, but there's a lot of guys that they just never touched each other in the ring.
This is true. Now,
they never had their matches.
What we're going to do is we're going to rewrite history. We're going to take guys, put them together, and either twist the storyline around or write our own. In this case, Dave and I, Dave decided we should do two. From, you know, do one each and split them up. And we'll do two and then one, whatever it is. And how it's going to work is, on the ones I wrote, I actually twisted one storyline around, and then on another one I wrote, I made one totally up.
Okay.
That's how I did it this time. It's not going to be the format. It's just going to be how we did it. You know, it just for the one that I twisted around, it just worked for me. That I twisted it, and if you know, we'll get into it. So this is how it's going to be. Every couple of weeks, we're going to just probably do this. We're going to take some ideas from you guys. I got my one idea I got from, I believe it was Gary, in that thread. So thank you to Gary for.
I picked two from the lists.
Yeah, I took one from the list and one that I just was always wanted to do. So, Dave, why don't you start with your first fantasy warfare?
Okay,
match.
I'll start with the one that I didn't fully write out. but I thought it was a great match idea. Baza came up with this one. Surprisingly, a British guy came up with a good idea for a change. That's interesting. But Bruiser Brody versus Mick Foley, because Bruiser Brody was an influence to Mick Foley, but he didn't go in that direction. He did the opposite. You know, Brody was a shit kicker, you know, kicked the shit out of everybody that, you know, came his way. But Cactus Jack was the opposite. You know, he would give a good beating to somebody, but for the most part, he would take a good beating. So I don't have this fully figured out. I'm probably just going to be pulling a lot of stuff out of my ass right now, and it's probably going to be awesome as well. But I thought it would be incredible if these guys, you know, had a match in WWC in Puerto Rico in one of those shitty, godforsaken soccer stadiums with, as our good buddy Uptown Georgie, you know, mentioned, like they would have the moonshine, selling the moonshine before the show.
Yeah.
Pre-show would literally be like a cockfight.
So you're talking like, so now is this before? Now, is Brody still alive at this point? Like, you're not
killed? Yeah, well, he's got to be alive.
No, here's what I mean is, you cut me off. What I mean is, are you keeping him alive after 1988? Or did this happen before 88? Because, to be perfectly honest with you, Mick Foley wasn't even a thought at that point. I mean, he didn't start till a little later on.
This is, there's no time. It's just Cactus Jack, WCW era.
All right, so then, it's early 90s.
Bruiser Brody, you know, just before he died. You know, that era of Brody.
Okay.
While he's wrestling in Puerto Rico.
All right.
And I thought it would be awesome, you know, Carlos Colon breaking a sweat. You know, he's throwing everybody at Bruiser Brody. He's throwing the Funks at him. Can't bring him down. He's throwing Abdullah the Butcher at him. Can't get it done. Invader. Invader's bleeding like shit all over the ring. Carlos Colon, he can't even get it done himself. So he's throwing a last ditch effort,
right,
and getting the WCW tag team champion Cactus Jack to take care of business. And these two guys are knocking the chickens down from the cockfight.
Nice.
The fans are bloodthirsty. They're bringing the pitchforks to the arena for this. I don't have like an idea of how the match would go down, but I would just love to see these guys just beat the living shit out of each other, or have them go throughout the fans in that soccer stadium and just see what would happen.
Right.
You know, like, and not have like your typical DQ finish, because you know that would totally, you know, be the case. You know, if these guys were to ever really face one another, there would be like some sort of double DQ, double count out, some sort of nonsense like that.
Right.
But I think ultimately, just out of pure random thought, I would like to see Cactus Jack go over Bruiser Brody in Puerto Rico, of all places, to be the man that finally takes out Brody, you know, out of all those legends that he faced in Puerto Rico, Cactus Jack is the man to put those shoulders down to the mat.
So you're thinking, so that's how you're rolling with it? You're thinking Carlos Colon can't stop Bruiser Brody, he's unstoppable, and then he brings in Cactus Jack to stop him, and Jack puts the brakes on and stops him?
Like, yes.
He beats him flat out?
Yeah, this is the storyline. Nobody can bring down Brody because more or less nobody could.
Right.
You know, I'm pretty sure there was nobody that pinned that guy, you know, anywhere, let alone Puerto Rico. And, you know, have Cactus Jack be the man that's crazy enough to get it done.
Wow. I would love to see it. I mean, that would be, I wish Georgie was listening tonight. Maybe get him on a download, but
yeah,
that would have been awesome to see that, man.
You know, drop the elbow off the top rope.
Or the apron.
Not just on the floor, but in the ring and get the pin.
They didn't even have mats in Puerto Rico, so if he dropped that elbow from the apron, can you
imagine? It would be on the grass or whatever they got there.
Yeah, be on dirt.
The Afro turf or whatever's going on there.
Broken glass from the El Presidente beers.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
All right, that's pretty cool. I actually put a little more thought into this one. This is Bret Hart versus Kurt Angle.
Mm.
And here's how – I mean, now, mind you, Kurt Angle didn't start until 98. But I'm going to speed the process up a little bit. And let me show you how I do it. So now this is summer 1996. Kurt Angle wins the freestyle wrestling gold medal in the Atlanta Olympic Games, right? While this is going on, he's highly touted by, obviously, WWF, WCW, and ECW. ECW actually invites him to High Incident. That was the card where Brian Lee dumped Tommy Dreamer from the Eagle's Nest, and that was also the night that Raven and Sandman had the match, and Raven crucified Sandman like to a cross, and Kurt Angle walked out on the match. I'm not wrestling for you guys at all. So how I have it is Angle doesn't sign with anyone. He was actually doing some – this is legit, though. He was doing some sports casting in his local Pittsburgh affiliate. And he was doing that and going to wrestling school still. He was earning his craft, doing, you know, indie shows and shit like that. So now we fast forward. This is the end of the year, obviously. Now we fast forward to 97. Stone Cold, Steve Austin era is in full effect. Attitude era is kicking in. WCW is doing their thing with the NWO. Mm. It's in high gear. They're swapping ratings. Obviously, your main players at that time are Austin, Rock, Triple H, Mick Foley, Taker, HBK, and then Bret Hart. Now, Bret Hart was the champion. He won the belt at SummerSlam of that year. Been with the company since 84, obviously.
Yeah.
His contract was up, and negotiations were not going well. So leading into some Survivor Series, now I have it as HBK also in contract negotiations, but working with a bad back. WCW comes, Bischoff offers both those guys lucrative contracts. Bret Hart takes his contract offer, brings it to Vince, shows Vince the numbers. Obviously, WCW offered him a lot of money. And he told Vince, can you match it? Vince says, no, can't match it. So what does Bret do? He signs. And now he signs a week before the pay-per-view. So now, you know, Vince says, okay, now I want you to drop the belt at the pay-per-view. You know, it's Survivor Series. And Bret's like, no, it's in Canada. I'm not dropping the belt in my hometown. It's crazy. You know, not doing it. So now,
no way, never.
Right, so they don't want to do it. Now HBK and all this is still, like, in negotiations pretty much. So Vince, HBK, and Bret allegedly agree to make a match that night at Survivor Series for disqualification and would still drop the belt the next night on Raw. But Bret knew that Vince wanted to, you know, Bret knew that Vince wanted to screw him. So thinking that Vince may screw the match, HBK and Brett agree to give Brett the win and turn the tables on Vince. The day before Survivor Series, HBK re-signs a contract with them. So he signed with a bad back and everything. Brett obviously signed with WCW, right? So here we are. The Montreal Screwjob, allegedly, Survivor Series.
Supposedly.
All right. So now you're 12 minutes into the match. Hear me out. You're 12 minutes into the match. This is HBK and Bret Hart still, right? HBK notices Vince talking to the ref Earl Hebner in his earpiece, like screaming at him from ringside. Motions to Bret with a signal they practiced prior. Attempts the sweet chin music, but misses. Bret hits an atomic knee drop, and HBK really sells the bad back. Bret quickly applies the sharpshooter. Vince jumps up from the announce table, and before the ref could react, HBK taps, and the bell rings. Vince is fucking livid, right? Triple H comes out, helps HBK back. He's still nursing the bad back. As he leaves, Vince goes to grab him. HBK shoves him to the floor. Bret follows that with a smack to the face and heads to the locker room. So now they all go into the locker room like legit what happened in Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And what you saw with the...
Same deal.
Okay, now they go into the locker room. HBK's back is so bad, he tells Vince, I'm leaving. I need surgery. Even though I just signed yesterday. I can't work. I'm hurt.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Pretty much doing a cop-out. Okay?
He's lost his smile, lost his back.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So now Vince is in a bad spot. He's got this champion who's still champion, and he's leaving to the competition in a week. So there were words exchanged. There was almost a fist fight. Families got involved. It was crazy. They break it up. They all head back to the hotel where they're staying. Vince and Brett are in a conference room in the hotel, like one of those Marriott shits, you know, trying to figure out what's going to happen the next night on Raw. And creative is there, and Vince is there, and Brett's wife, that ugly looking chick, she's fucking yelling and screaming. It's like a bad scene, you know. It's a bad scene.
Oh my god!
Right. So in walks Shane McMahon. Shane enters the fray. Shane says to Vince, he just watched ECW's High Incident on tape, outdated obviously because it's 1997, and thinks they should make another run at Kurt Angle for tomorrow night on Raw. Vince looks at Brett. Brett's like, I want to drop the belt the next night. I didn't want to drop it in Survivor Series. So, you know, now Shane makes this mad dash, calls Kurt Angle, offers him the fucking moon, and Kurt signs. Kurt signs in a contract. Now, mind you, this is 2 years prior, but I think it's just apropos, you know? Because now, you know, Brett's anti-American, he's, you know, the world champion, he's leaving for WCW in a week, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so here's Raw.
Where the big boys play.
That's right. Opening promo, Hitman comes out with the family. Owen, Davey, Bulldog, Jim Neidhart, Brian Pillman, and cuts the anti-American promo on how he's taking the belt to WCW. And Vince is afraid and won't come out. Shane McMahon's music hits. Says that Brett will be defending his title tonight in a no DQ, no count out match. And if his family interferes, they're all going to be fired. Legit. Brett wants to know who his opponent is. Shane says you'll have to wait. The arena is sealed. So nobody can leave. So Brett can't leave with the title. They pan the arena doors. They're being blocked by Austin on one door, Taker on one door, and The Rock on another door. They're all guarding the door for him, which I thought was pretty cool. Again, this is me just writing stuff. I'm not that great at it, so don't let it all laugh at me. So here's the match. Shane McMahon's at ringside. Hitman's in the ring screaming on a mic, this isn't right. Kurt Angle's music hits. The crowd's in shock. Nobody knows how to react. Kurt Angle's only been around a little while. He's been wrestling in the indies. He's, you know, as ECW. Nobody knows really about him. You know, he's an Olympic gold medalist, but they don't know he's been in wrestling school for a year. Brett's nose-to-nose with him. Angle grabs the mic and says, I'm not going to let any filthy Canadian disgrace my country or the WWF title.
Oh, my God.
Right? They go back and forth. It's like a 20-minute match at this point. Hitman's getting off his five moves of doom. Hits Kurt Angle with an atomic knee drop. Whips Angle into the ropes. Attempts a clothesline. Angle ducks. Hits a sick belly-to-belly suplex. Brett recovers. Takes the fight outside. Throws Kurt back in. Commercial break. Phil goes to the bathroom. Which I really did. Come back. Angle's working his way back. Gets back into the corner. Brett elbows Angle. Brett goes for the second turnbuckle for an elbow drop and slips and falls. Angle picks up Brett, who's taking a swing, but misses and hits the ref instead, knocking him out cold. Shane gets up from ringside, taking off his jacket, gets in the ring. Brett pushes Shane. Shane pushes Brett into an awaiting Kurt Angle, who hits him with a sick German suplex, then hits the Angle lock. And Shane wakes the ref up, quickly rings the bell, and there you go. Kurt Angle's your new World Heavyweight Champion. Now, here's the aftermath. Brett goes to WCW and shits the bed. And Angle helps along the Attitude Era, and they destroy WCW in the ratings.
Why can't WCW win in the ratings?
Because I wrote it. You didn't.
Well.
That's the thing. But, you know, it's... I like the fact that they... I like the fact that I just thought of bringing Kurt Angle in earlier than 1988. I thought Kurt Angle would have fit right in with the Attitude Era at that point. I mean, they brought him in 98. He was great. And he was.
Yeah.
I loved his character. He was awesome, you know?
I thought it was funny when they brought him in, nobody gave a shit about him.
Right, but
People were booing him, and he was like an Olympic gold medalist. And it wasn't until he started having the tantrums a la Chris Jericho on WCW Nitro, where the big boys play. And then he got over.
Well, this is 1997, so I figured, you know, switch it up a little bit. And, you know, you don't know. Like, in other words, they screwed Vince. Vince didn't get to screw him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So Brett lost here. Brett lost in WWF. He lost in WCW because he really didn't have that swag with him over there. You know, he got kind of lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
So Bret Hart kind of like, you know, shot himself in the foot, even if I didn't write this. And he admitted it. And I didn't want to shit on Bret Hart. I just did, you know, I figured, you know what? These two guys would have had a fucking great match. You're right, Shane. It's true. It's damn true. They would have had a great match. And I thought this would have been a great time to bring Angle in. And I mean, no, not giving a wrestler a title on his first night in. No, not a world title, anyway. It's been done with the Intercontinental title, obviously. But, like, Santino did it, Carlito did it, a lot of guys did it. But, you know, but to have that impact, that would have put WWE over the top.
Mm.
For a little while, anyway. You don't know.
Do you think if Bret Hart never got injured by Goldberg in real life, you think he ever would have had a chance?
No, he got lost. He got lost in the shuffle. They broke up the teams. There was Wolfpack and Silver and White and whatever, Latino World. There was like 17 different fucking NWOs at that point. And it was just terrible. I mean, maybe they would have gave Bret Hart another run.
Yeah, but then, like, his contract was for 3 years. Like, what point was he at when he had the concussion?
Yeah, maybe into his first year, I think it was, when Goldberg gave him the concussion. Mm. I think. I'm not sure. You guys can, you know, fix that for me if I mess that up.
Yeah.
But, you know, Matt, I could have fit the gold medal in. I wrote this, like, with the intention of getting Kurt Angle in earlier and getting Bret Hart the title after Survivor Series. And, you know, Vince, this planted the seeds for Mr. McMahon's character. He became Mr. McMahon after that. You know, he did the whole thing with Austin and, you know, the corporate shit with The Rock and him. And it was a great run. It was amazing.
Mm.
You know? Thank you, Tony. See, it was year two. Okay, so it was year two when Bret got hurt. But WCW was so hot. They were white hot at that time.
White hot.
They were. They were white hot. They were fantastic. But they sort of lost a little bit when they started breaking up these teams and guys were getting lost in identity. You know what I'm saying?
WCW was like Dynamite Kid when he was beating the hell out of that black dude in that match.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He beat him like he owned him. I'm just thinking about that match. Like, oh my God.
Anyway. But
I think we had like a couple people drop from the chat room.
Yeah, right. Good job, Dave. Good job, Dave. I just saw three people drop from the chat room. Good job.
They'll come back.
Anyway, But was it terrible? I mean, was it bad? I thought it was okay. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's just something that I'd like to see. Like, it would have been great, you know?
Yeah, that's one of those kind of, like, again, like, as many, like, times as, like, a lot of these guys, there's, like, so many guys that have faced each other that people don't know about, which is actually going to be our show next week. Some rare matches that people don't, you know, didn't know happened that guys faced each other during.
Yep.
But there's plenty of guys that, you know, never got to face each other. And it's starting to get to that point where there is that gap that's happening. You know, they teased Austin and Hogan, Austin and CM Punk, and, you know, this match too, you know, Bret Hart versus Kurt Angle. Guys that weren't, you know, too far away from each other, and they just never had the chance to face each other. Not in a tag match, nothing.
All right. So there it is. There's my my answer to the Montreal screw job. Now you guys can rewrite Bret. Listen, I would love to rewrite Bret Hart's history in WCW. I thought he would have been amazing. See, he should. First of all, Bret Hart should have been amazing in WCW because that was the intent.
You know, it's funny because, you know, he got to face like a lot of the, you know, classic wrestlers like Hogan. Funny enough, there was a Bret Hart versus Hogan match. Which was like on Nitro, and there was like a DQ.
Yeah, didn't he fight? He fought Benoit, which was amazing.
Yeah, he fought Benoit. He fought Flair. He fought Sting. He fought Kurt Hennig. He fought so many guys, but like a lot of the, he fought Goldberg.
Yeah, Goldberg fucking ruined the Goldberg wasn't the hype of Goldberg was. Listen, I appreciated the hype for him. I thought they hyped him very well. It was one of those things where they just brought him in way, way, way too soon. He was still green when they brought him in.
The dude was a football player, and they were like,
"Yeah,
you know,
dude." I mean,
a guy to fill the spot, and he was the dude.
I kept telling friends like they just bring in when he was going on that winning streak, and he beat Raven for the U.S. title. I was like, man, they just brought this cat in way too soon.
You know, I can't complain about that kind of stuff because if you watch even, you know, like old Stan Hansen, like the dude didn't know what the fuck he was doing. Like he was sloppy as shit. And those matches are like almost unwatchable when he first started wrestling because there were no wrestling schools back then. Like nobody was telling these guys how to wrestle. And Goldberg, you know, the guy was in the power plant. He had training, but, you know, he just wasn't in long enough. He wasn't paying his dues. They were like, hey, we need this guy. He looks great.
I'll give Goldberg this. He got better with time. He got better with time. So, I mean, I'll give him that.
But, you know, also, too, the dude was just he was an intense guy. You know, he put his arm through the friggin', you know, play class for the car door for that one segment. And he ended up, like, off TV for, like, months because of that. But the dude was just, like, he was the real deal. Like, he could fucking, you know, knock somebody out.
Tony C saying, Phil Rage says Goldberg is a great wrestler. Right. Goldberg, he's saying that because he's 21 years old and has no fucking clue of anything past 1993.
Yeah.
So that's everything between 93 and over is, you know, what he's got going. I graduated fucking high school when he was coming out of Mama. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
Hold on one second. There's a call coming in. Should we take it or should we?
Who is it?
I don't know. Hold on. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, what's your name? Where you from?
Hi, my name is Lee, and I'm calling from Baltimore.
What up, Lee? What's going on, fam?
What's up? How you guys doing?
Good,
what's
man.
Going on, dude?
What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Mega Powers?
What's going on, Lee?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. I just had a quick question, and I can hang up and listen, but I just wanted y'all opinion on something. I always thought that, because you mentioned Bret Hart's run in WCW. And I always thought that there were certain, as much as Vince McMahon is criticized, even times I've done it, for his cartoony or overtop characters or what have you, I think there are some people who really got over with being with him and him directing their characters. And it kind of seems like when they would go off and cry somewhere else, it wouldn't be as strong. And I was always curious what it would be like if Vince McMahon was able to get a hold of Sting earlier what he would have done. But the reason why I'm saying this is because, to me, Hogan, red and yellow Hogan never worked in WCW. Like, it was, initially it was the whole thing of, okay, Hogan's here, and he wasn't here before, but it just wasn't the same thing as WWF. It was just...
No, not at all.
Nothing clicked. Like, WWF was the perfect All-American Hulk Hogan with the right down to the music, the theme song. You can't change that. That's his theme song.
I mean, think about it. Outside of Flair, when Hogan initially came in 94, outside of Flair, who did they throw at him? The Dungeon of Doom?
They created stuff for Hogan. Everyone was created for that's why I think the Giant came in.
Yeah, he brought in all his boys. He brought in all his friends with Kevin Sullivan, and he brought in the Nasty Boys. And they didn't start getting Savage and Luger until right before Nitro dropped. So you had the whole year of him just not fitting in. I totally agree. To answer your initial question, though, you know, there's so much validity to that with Vince building characters, and Vince saw that they were in a transition. Vince knew that he couldn't give him the guaranteed contract he wanted, and Vince knew that he was building other guys. So it wasn't like a thing where he had an insurance policy. He had a couple of them.
He had Diesel, the original insurance policy.
Yeah, I mean, it was a thing where I think he got – and I mentioned this, you know, when you were listening, I said that he, you know, he got lost in the shuffle almost. Because there were guys that he worked with Flair and Benoit and, you know, guys like that and Sting and stuff like that. But I think he got lost. He didn't look right there. You know what I'm saying?
He didn't look right. It was like his look, his music. And even though that music was already when we did the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart, he just seemed dry in WCW. And in WWF, I mean, he had the music, he had the shades, he had the pink and black that it was really, they really made it him and made it his own. So much so that if you didn't know about the Hart Foundation previously, you would think that it was all just Bret Hart. And he just stood out in that way. I mean, he just really stood out to the point where, I don't know, when he got to WCW with so much promise and so much excitement about what could have happened. And when he got there, he had the matches, but that's all he ever did. It was kind of like when Desmond Wolf, when Nigel McGuinness went to TNA. It was like he had those matches, but he just got lost in the shuffle.
Didn't fit in, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was a big change, you know, and Hart mentions that he didn't want to make the change, but he was offered $3 million a year for 3 years, so $9 million right there. And, you know, throw into the mix that, you know, his brother died, you know, during his time there. And it was just the raw deal, money doesn't solve anything, you know, money doesn't make people happy, you know, when you're.
Well, even if you see did you see the Bischoff shoot interview that he did?
The recent one, no.
The RF video, or was it the Austin's podcast, or which?
What's the most recent one? It's like about 4 hours long. And, well, I'll just say this, and then I will get off, because I don't want to derail the topic, but it just stood out when you mentioned Bret Hart. Bischoff did mention in there, and I don't want to, you know, go too deep into it, for people don't want to see it, even though it is over 4 hours. He did mention that the thing with Bret Hart was, he said Bret Hart was just, he was so down that it was really hard to do anything with him. Like, he said that Bret Hart would come in and be like, what do you got for me? Really, that's what you got for me. Like, he had been through so much, and he was so hurt, and the whole thing happened with Hogan and everything, that he said, you know, putting something on paper was one thing, but if Bret couldn't execute it, he just wasn't there. Like, he would show up like a half hour before the show was about to go on and be like, what do I have? And stuff like that. So, I'm just, you know, I was just always wondering. I always thought, there was rumors years ago, I don't know if y'all remember, you probably do, and there was a rumor that Shawn Michaels was going to WCW.
Yeah, I kind of fit that into my fantasy warfare. Like, you know, he had the bad back, and they offered him the contract too. That was always a rumor. And again, you don't know until you actually get there. It's like, you know, with an athlete, especially like in basketball or in hockey, when you get like an ultimate team sport, and guys got to work with each other all the time at the same time on the floor. It's the same kind of chemistry. You get a new point guard, guy can't run the floor right. You get a defenseman for hockey, he can't run the point right. It's the same kind of concept. You bring a wrestler in, performing with some of the same guys he used to work with back in the day, but some of these guys are older, some of these guys lost a step or two. you know, it's that same concept. It's like it's, you know, sometimes you just get lost in the shuffle, and you wouldn't have known if HBK would have been good over there. He might have.
You know, sometimes you get lost in the shuffle, and then you have a match with Will Sasso for the United States Championship.
Well, I was thinking about, like, Jake Roberts. He was over there, and he kind of got just lost. Like, Raven, when he first came to – I think Raven came to, like, the W – right before the Invasion. Well, I can't remember when it was, but I remember he came to the WWF.
He was like a Sunday Night Heat guy.
Yeah, like, when Jake Roberts came in with Sting, the whole thing with Sting – it was good until the pay-per-view.
Until the match.
Yeah, the match was terrible, first of all.
Yeah.
But the build-up, I mean, it's Jake Roberts.
Roberts got a DDT win on him in like a Survivor Series match on Clash of the Champions.
Yeah, so it was like a thing where it depends. You could be the best guy. Like, it worked for Ricky Steamboat because he was always a good guy. He was never a heel. You know, it worked for guys like that. But, you know, it took Hogan a whole change. Hogan had to be Hollywood, man. That's what put Hogan over. It was the best thing that happened to him and the best thing that happened to wrestling at that time, you know?
Until, like, 4 months later when everything went to shit.
When Bret Hart came in, they had 17 different NWOs, and, you know, it was retarded. But
LWO,
NWO.
Black and Silver, Wolfpack. Come on,
and
man.
And
it's
the
crazy.
Same main event from, like, 4 years ago, so.
You know what helped WCW, though? But, Lee, you know what helped WCW, too? Was the fact that their syndicated stuff always showcased certain angles and certain matches. It just wasn't like job stuff, job stuff, job stuff. They always had the vignettes. They always hyped. They were very WCW had a really good hype machine. They had really good guys. They had really good producers and stuff like that. So when they brought Hogan in, even though the red and yellow Hogan was kind of hokey, it had a bit of a feel to it, though. It just didn't seem right when he was fighting fucking Shark and Kevin Sullivan, who I love to death, by the way.
But like, it was cool when Arn Anderson and Flair got back-to-back victories on him on Nitro when they used Elizabeth Shue on him.
That was awesome. You just don't know until it really happens. And I thought that, you know, all the guys wanted guaranteed contracts, and that's where the money was. It was like, you know what, I'm going to go where the money is. I can do this, and I can't get this anywhere else. And that was pretty much the deal. And when you get there and you realize you get – I mean, you saw the documentaries. Dudes were being sent there, and they weren't even working. They got paid to stay home.
The amazing thing was, like, you know, when you look at all these people that kind of – and I really haven't sat down and thought about it, you know, forever. But you look at – Vince McMahon was really willing to put stuff behind – really put people, you know, some fire behind people and really, you know, give them a push. I mean, but some of them still seem awkward. Like, and maybe it was just me being a WCW guy. It was hard for me to see Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard in WWF. It was hard for me to see the Steiners. Like, it just seemed weird. Flair was different. Flair was okay, but those other two, it just seemed kind of weird. Now, you know, you had Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. They were in WCW, and they were big carders. They were iffy. I mean, they weren't doing anything. And then they got over there, and they were just on fire. And then, you know, you had even Lex Luger. I mean, Lex Luger, besides that one world title run he had, he was, you know, U.S. champion.
He didn't get the win over Flair for the title, so it wasn't really as over as he would have wanted it to be.
The only guy.
But then when he gets to WWF, I mean, he's got confetti and balloons falling from the sky and everything else.
I mean, the only guy I ever had a problem making that transition, because I was a WWF guy. I didn't really get to see NWA until I was a teenager because I didn't have cable. But the only guy I had a problem with as a kid coming over was Dusty Rhodes, and I'll get into that.
Yeah,
because that's actually part of my second fantasy warfare is Dusty Rhodes. I'll get into that in a few minutes. But like, I had that problem with him being the hero, being the man. Being like the adversary to the horsemen, to the Koloffs, to all that shit, and then all of a sudden he's the common man, he's the pizza man, the plumber man, if you will. He's not Stardust no more. He's not the Bull of the Woods. He's not the American Dream. He's not Risk of Business. He's not Baby Doll. He's not.
Well, didn't Cody cut that promo, and it was when he was going to get married, when they had that little angle with him, where he got fired if he didn't beat Randy Orton, and he said it.
Yep, he sure did.
And I thought that was awesome.
But that that was my. I didn't have an issue with On and Tully. I didn't have an issue with the Steiners. I didn't have. Definitely didn't have a problem with Flair. That was my favorite run with one of my favorite things ever in wrestling. But it is what it is. So I mean, it's just a coulda, shoulda, would've, and it just puts a different perspective on what would have happened if this. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a fun thing to think about and consider. So it is what.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, it goes back to a lot of things that, you know, I always. Things that, like you said, you know, you want to see them, and you just don't know how they will go. Like, I will be honest. I know there's people that want to see Sting and Undertaker. If it would have happened, I would watch it. I'd be lying to tell you I wouldn't watch it. But my expectation, it'll probably come off as a better match than I'm thinking, because my expectation for it isn't, like, really high now, because, you know, they're older now. Undertaker's injured, and Sting, he's injured. But, I mean, you know, not injured, but... You know, I mean, it would have been different if it was 5 years ago.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I just don't want it to be a situation where, you remember TNA some years ago, they had the and Hardcore Justice, and they had all the ECW guys came out, and the pay-per-view didn't go off, and a lot of people were complaining, and, you know, and Bubba Ray was like, you know, what did everybody expect? You know, we're all older now, it was just about us having fun. People thought we would go out there and perform like we did back in, you know, the 90s, and I don't know what they were thinking. But anyway, sorry I don't get a chance to be in a chat like I want to, but I do work on this night. But I just wanted to let you know I'm supporting, listening in, and you know I will try to be a little bit more active.
We appreciate you, man. I always look forward to you calling in and picking on Rage on Tuesday nights and ordering food. That was outstanding last night. No, dude, you know we love you to death. So thanks for calling in. We really appreciate it. And
no problem.
You're always welcome to call in anytime you want, man.
Thanks. Y'all have a good night.
Take care.
See you, man.
All right. Later.
Lee from Baltimore.
Lee Champion, one half of the WCW Special Forces with Firebreaker Chip, right?
That was him?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that, Dick. I thought it... No. Damn it. All right. So we got to start wrapping this up soon. What is your next...
Save the other ones for the next installment.
All right. Well, you know what? Mine's pretty quick. So can I read mine and you do yours?
Mine's really long.
All right, so you know what? You want to save yours, and I'll do mine real quick, then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, mine's called No More Polka Dots.
No More Polka Dots.
It's 1990. Sapphire just turned on Dusty Rhodes.
That bitch.
Right, loses the feud with DiBiase and falls into a terrible slump, right? So now the vignettes are not him doing the pizza man and the plumber man and the comma man. It's Dusty Rhodes in a bar in West Texas, boozing it up. And he's belligerent. He's in a bar. He's depressed. He lost Sapphire. He's just not himself, right?
Drinking way too much Mellow Yellow.
In comes an old friend, Dirty Dick Murdoch.
I'm Dirty Dick.
That's right. Dirty Dick Murdoch, Texas Outlaws, one of the best tag teams in pro wrestling. So now Dick Murdoch is sitting with him and says, well, man, what is the matter with you? You are an outlaw. You were the world champion. You from Texas. You the Bull of the Woods. You Dusty Rhodes, goddammit. Grow some balls. Do it for Texas. So Dusty's like looking at him like, I don't understand here. I can't function. I need Sapphire. I need my swagger back, if you will. And then this goes back and forth, and he's yelling at him and smacks him in the face and walks out of the bar. Like, totally.
Oh, shit.
Dusty's pissed. Dusty's
Captain dead. Redneck.
Captain Redneck comes in, and that's it. It just set, now this sets Dusty off. So now, fast forward 2 weeks, Saturday night's main event, they're doing a taping, all right? At the time, Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich, he's the Intercontinental Champion, in a sick feud with Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig, right? That's H-E-N-N-I-G, not Hennig, right?
Yes, Texas Tornado with his one leg.
Against Mr. Perfect.
Kurt Hennig.
They're going back and forth.
With a spinny little punch.
Rick Rude, who's a Minnesota native and a friend of Perfect's, jumps Kerry Von Erich. Dusty Rhodes makes the save. Coming out now, this is a big tag match now. Saturday night's main event. Dusty Rhodes, Kerry Von Erich versus Ravishing Rick Rude and Kurt Hennig, right? So, here's the match. Kerry Von Erich is going crazy. He's taking on both guys.
He's all pilled up and he's ready to go.
He's pilled up. He's got the stump. He's
guild to the nines.
Right. And he's just tailing off on both dudes. He's not even tagging in Dusty Rhodes. Dusty's putting his hand out. had a chance to tag, he wouldn't tag him, and he's just fucking going off. Just going off crazy. Doesn't tag Dusty. 8 minutes in, gets the corner. Now Roode and Henning get the momentum back, and they're kicking the living shit out of Kerry Von Erich. They get a near pinfall on him, and get him into the corner, and now Kerry Von Erich's trying to shake it off and get, like, a tag, and Dusty hits him with the bionic elbow. Henning and Roode are like, what? And Roode, shocked, just picks up Kerry Von Erich, does the Roode Awakening, and gets the win, and then Dusty gets on a microphone. I try 10 and all, y'all. I'm the man. I'm the Bullet of Woods. I don't need this. I'm a three-time champion, baby. I am Stardust. I am Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. And he cuts this crazy promo on how you could screw the fans. And everybody can kiss my big, fat, white ass, baby. And that's how it starts. Now he's heel Dusty Rhodes. He's late 70s, early 80s, Texas outlaw. Back in black, gallon hat, kicking faces in Dusty Rhodes.
Drinking Colt 45.
Yeah, I'm drinking Colt 45, the woo, metal yellow. The taste that beats Mountain Dew. So he gets into this icy title feud with Kerry Von Erich. But at this point, Dusty's old in the tooth. I mean, sadly, he's the man, but he... Actually, I think
in WWF he did even less than he did in the NWA.
He did.
Which he didn't do much in the NWA in the first place.
So no, Matt, this is not real.
No, this is Matt, fantasy. Where the fuck you been all night? This is fantasy warfare.
And I wrote this because I wanted to see
this
Dusty.
Is a wrestling fan's wet dream right here.
So Dusty Rhodes Shane goes, close your eyes when you hit us on the download.
Yeah, please.
Good job. I love you guys, man. You guys are awesome.
Make sure the door is closed, too.
Yeah, pretty much. You don't want to scare anybody. Hide your kids. Hide your kids. Hide your wife. Because I'm beating everybody up in here. All right, but... So he doesn't get the belt. But, you know, he fades off. And, you know, we all know what happens after that. He leaves and goes back to WCW and, you know...
And then he's fighting Bunkhouse Buck and my uncle Colonel Rob.
Your uncle, Rob, Colonel Rob Powers.
Tony C was calling him. He says he was my uncle. Got not it. My Uncle Tom though.
Jesus Christ! Right. So what do you think? How do you think of that? Would you think that would have worked in 1990?
I would have loved to have seen Dusty Rhodes heel turn because the dude wasn't like a heel since like the 70s.
Right,
so.
He wasn't a heel since the early 80s when him and Murdoch were the Texas Outlaws.
Yeah.
Right.
It would have been an interesting dynamic, especially during the polka dot era. Plus, like, I don't know. Like, it was like a strange time. Like, from 90 to 91, like there was like a noticeable change. Like Hogan was definitely getting boring at the time.
Right.
He needed whatever he could get. Like, you know, I was actually thinking, like, especially during this era, like I found it interesting that, Flair was coming in and Steamboat was there too. And they never tangled.
Yeah. Well, Steamboat was briefly there and they didn't give him a main event spot. So he,
yeah, supposedly he was promised, world title shot or something like that.
Again, unless you were in WCW, nothing was guaranteed. And that's what that's what the business
had. But you know, when Flair was WWF champion, he actually had a world championship match against Texas Tornado in Italy.
Oh, I want to see that.
It's somewhere, I think it's on like Daily Motion or YouTube. I haven't seen it in years, but I know it was on... It's like one of those European tour things. Maybe we'll cover it next week.
Possibly.
Even though, well, the topic is supposed to be guys that you never thought faced each other, facing each other. But we'll see if that falls into the mix.
All right, you want to stop?
There's a lot of like bizarre matches of like, whoa, these guys faced each other. But that was just kind of strange that, you know, they had this big, you know, feud, especially since it was like surrounding like the death of David Von Erich, where Kerry Von Erich won the world championship of the NWA. But then later on, they actually got to face each other for the WWF World Championship in the WWF.
That's cool. I definitely want to see that. All right, so That's pretty much it, man. I want to thank Lee for calling in tonight. Everybody in the chat room, you guys rock. Want to start pulling this train in?
Yeah.
All right. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. What do you think, Dave? You like that, huh?
Voices. I love it.
That's right. All right, guys. You know the drill. Every week, 9 p.m., right here on The Rant, we are Shining Wizards Network Productions. Support all the network shows. You know how to reach us. I already plugged in on the break. Till next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Dave, any closing words?
I have nothing to say.
Happy birthday, Otto. Thanks to everybody in the chat room tonight. Thanks for
Happy birthday to everybody in the chat room, even if it's not your birthday. Happy birthday.
And thank you for everybody who's been supporting us. It's been a great ride. We'll see you guys next week. Rolling along, baby. Rocktober's in effect. Good night, kids.
Peace. Now get again.
Listen to me.